just called us. Our old friend Mark McKinnon, he's from Showtime. He's from that show, The Circus, on Showtime, which in 2016 became one of the biggest cable hits ever, pay cable hits ever, because it followed what turned out to be a very dramatic and interesting presidential year. And there was a lot that went on. I don't think I have to tell you that, Mark. I think you were there and you saw a lot that went on. And then you were coming back and forth during these past 4 years. And now you just announced that you're coming back in August. Now, what is interesting is you would be coming back in August, ostensibly, to cover conventions. But what is going to be coverable here? Because in Milwaukee, our neighbors right here to the north, that's where the Democrats are going to be doing their convention. And now there's kind of a split convention for the Republicans. But what do you expect there?
Well, great question. We don't know, but whatever it is, we'll be there to cover it. We do know that the Biden will be there. You know, I was involved heavily in the 2004 conventions, and I remember back then we thought, during all the planning, that it was so anachronistic, and we thought, you know, do we really need 5 days? Do we really need all this pomp and circumstance and, you know, all these speeches and all this entertainment? So much of it just seemed superfluous and unnecessary, and I think what's going to happen is we'll do the conventions differently this year, and I think they'll be different forever because people are going to do it this year this way, and they're going to say, you know what? We don't need all that extra stuff. Let's just kind of do the business we need to do, have a speech for the nomination, and get out of here.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, because the entertainment, as a kid, you know, I grew up in a household where my parents made me sit down and watch TV. Even on Saturday nights, I had to watch news programs like on PBS and stuff like that. It's just what has created this monster that's sitting here right now. But
that's the reason.
Yeah, that right. You always wonder, well, that's it. But I always was fascinated by the political conventions because they were ridiculously bad in terms of entertainment. And they would always try to have entertainment. They tried to have a singer or somebody that, or you'd get these local politicians that would get up because they were party chairman from some important bellwether county in some state that I barely ever heard of, let alone been to. And they're trying to be funny and they're trying to be glib. And it just never really worked. It just seemed, like you said, it was anachronistic. It was antiquated.
Well, it's the worst, and you think that's rough. I was the guy in charge of trying to get entertainment for the Republican convention. Now, imagine how hard that is. I mean, at the end, of, you know, I'd make 1,000 calls, and then after 1,000 calls, I'd have Lee Greenwood and the Oak Ridge Boys.
You know? Right, that's true. You always did. When, you know, after Anita Bryant died, that was always available to Republicans.
Yeah, Wayne Newton. Yeah, we had Wayne Newton from Las Vegas. You know, he's 107.
Yeah. Now the Republicans, this is interesting. The Republicans are going to keep their deal in Charlotte because they know they would have to pay the rent on that particular facility if they didn't do it. But then the president is going to accept the nomination in in Jacksonville, right?
Yeah. The idea? They seem to be getting the worst of all worlds. They're just pinned their wings to the wall, and, you know, the recent data out of Jacksonville that people don't even want it there. So I don't know that they're going to get much upside from having moved it. So the whole thing is, you know, just kind of a train wreck, I think.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that you're watching the polling here about people in the coronavirus and thinking, okay, do you want to be somewhere with a large crowd? And when it came to concerts and sporting events, and obviously now you see political rallies, I think people are pretty reticent to get into a stadium. Right. And so,
well, yeah, I mean, if Trump supporters are unwilling to go to rallies and, you know, they're the most fervent people out there, then that's a hell of a note and a signal to, I think, everybody that people are being pretty cautious, even the diehards.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to change how these guys campaign, too. Right. Because then you got Joe Biden, who's doing it like from the from his basement. Or there was a speech.
And it's working pretty well for him.
Well, right. Well, that may be less about what he's doing. But OK. Last week he gave a speech in a room, and I don't know where this was, but it looked like a high school theater, you know, like a high school auditorium. And he had the flags around, and he got up there and he gave It was the end of that speech was really something. It was notable to me because he held on to both sides of the podium and he looked directly into the camera and he went, "America, wake up." And I'm like, that's not how you say "America, wake up." He was falling asleep between "wake" and "up." I'm gonna tell you something. This is gonna be. I mean, you're gonna see a tale of two completely different worlds here over the next couple of months because now we really are in, you know, traditionally heading into what would be election season right after about the 4th of July.
Yeah, and what we're going to see is that that by the time Trump gets done with Biden, there's going to be an overwhelming number of people in this country who don't like either one of them. They're not right. Neither one of them are particularly popular right now. Neither one of them have a positive favorable rating. So it's going to be a vote of the double haters, people who don't like either one of them. But the interesting thing is that in 2016 that was the case. But people who didn't like Hillary or Trump voted for Trump by a margin of 16 points, a little bit more in those key swing states. In the latest polling, those double haters are supporting Biden by anywhere from 30 to 60 points.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. Trump is obviously trying to rough up Biden, but the problem is that people know Biden. I mean, they have a sense of him that he's been a former vice president. And, they may not love him, but they think he's okay. They think he's safe. So they're not going to be able to do to Biden what they did to Clinton, I don't think. But I'm sure by November, they'll have a good portion of the country convinced that Hunter Biden was in Wuhan and came back with the first case of the Kung Fu.
I don't doubt that there's at least one strategist right now that's coming up with that line. Hey, they sit around you were one of those strategists. You sit around a round table and go, "All right, now what can we come up with?" And sometimes the most ridiculous idea wins. We have seen that before.
I want to ask you about John Kerry.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And you might have had a little something to do with that. Hey, I want to ask you about something that actually not even presidential here, but just to me, one of the more fascinating as a Republican strategist for as long as you were and as storied a career as you've had, Mark McKinnon. Now you're seeing a change in the South here. I think that this is really a dramatic move that NASCAR has made. Over the last week, it's one of the first sports to come back, right? Because you can do it. The guys are in their cars, they're socially distant by nature, and just as long as their crews are staying safe, it's really more of a television sport. And I mean, obviously, it's a huge, large, ticket garnet because you get 100,000 people into a racetrack. But as a television show, it can go on. But now you're seeing politics crossing over into NASCAR. And does this mean a change sort of in the Southern political culture, do you think?
I think it does. I mean, I think this whole last couple of months has been, we've had a lot of these sort of incidents over recent years, but something about this feels different. And this whole Alabama NASCAR thing, I think, is suggests a real sea change. Having Richard Petty show up down there at 82 years old and have the entire, all the teams follow the car around the track. Well, that's sending a pretty strong message, I think, that things are changing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a very, that to me was a heartwarming thing. I don't know that they'll ever get to the bottom line
of
what happened there, but at least it, we do need to have this conversation about people coming together more than they're being pulled apart, because we've been pulling ourselves apart, shredding ourselves for a generation of American politics, and it's really at a fever pitch now.
We have, and it's that was really heartwarming to see. So hopefully we'll see, we'll see that this is the beginning of more.
All right. Well, congratulations. The circus returns to Showtime on the 16th. Of August, and I know we'll talk to you before then, because when you get on the road, we'll need to hear from you about some of the wackiness that you're going to be seeing here. And I got to tell you, if you want to see a show about American political system, and it shows just in 1 week's time that all they do is they start on a Monday and they take you all the way to Sunday, and the show is on that Sunday night, and they're still editing right as the thing is going on the air. And they show you what happened in that week, and it is wild. And it's, and the interviews that they get and the camera angles that you guys get are different than what you see on the news, like on the cable newsers. It's a totally different look, and it is fascinating. It's some of the best television about politics ever. So congratulations, and thank you for being our friend here, Mark. Appreciate it.
Bro, thank you for having me. Keep kicking it.
All right, I will. Mark McKinnon. We got Lauren Lapka's got the WGN traffic.